play fake. Rolls right. Throws a deep ball down the right sideline. It's a jump ball. Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
Pretty spectacular.
Something that you got to show respect for.
I've been playing the game for 10 years. That's the best catch I think I've ever seen. Something that he works on each and every day, warm up. So for him, it's just another day in the park. You know, for us, it's wow.
You know, I hope it's not the greatest catch of all time. I hope I can make more.
Welcome you to another edition of Giants First and Ten. As we get you set for the Giants and Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm Bob Papa, joined by my Hall of Fame linebacker, Harry Carson, two-time Super Bowl champion Carl Banks, and our protector Roman Oben. Hope everybody had a very healthy and happy Thanksgiving. Here's the menu. We've got another menu for you. I know you might be a little tired of menus after this weekend, but here's another menu for you. Here's what's coming up on the show. We'll be joined by Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. We sent Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room. You don't want to miss that. Jeff Schwartz will join us, he of the New York Giants, and then we'll have our Big Blue challenges. Our guys continue to struggle at the scoring department. Time to put item number one up on the board. We can call this our no huddle. 25 seconds go on the clock. Each of my co-hosts will have a little thought on the New York Giants. And, Harry, 25 seconds on the clock for you. At some point,
they're going to put everything together and win some games. But for the last few weeks, whether it was the inability to stop the run in Seattle, the turnovers, and pass rush against the Dallas Cowboys, I've seen some good things, some things that have been inspiring, like Odell Beckham Jr., but at some point, I think this team is going to come together and win some games.
Oh, right in at the buzzer. 25 seconds on the clock for you. You're thinking a little Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah, fight the good fight. If at some point these things come together, they will have had to have fought the good fight. And that means right about now, there's so much noise outside where you're going to be potentially distracted and thinking about everything other than winning. Fight the good fight and stay focused. Get that victory at some point.
Oh, very good. And you kept it under the wire. 25 seconds for you, Roman. And error of their ways.
Yeah, and you talk about this league about who executes the most or who makes the least amount of mistakes or who capitalizes from the other team's mistakes. But for me, it's about the ability to recover from mistakes. And if you recover from the mistakes, play well in the fourth quarter, you're not talking about a tip ball, Preston Parker. You're not talking about a dropped interception by Montrell Roe because you were able to make enough plays to recover from that. So recover from the mistakes, play a complete game, and do the things that you guys talked about.
All right, we opened up the show right at the horn. We opened up the show showing you the Odell Beckham Jr. catch. Harry, you've played with and against some of the greatest players in NFL history. Yeah. Was that one of the greatest plays you've ever seen?
For me, personally, that is probably the best catch I've ever seen in practice or in a game.
Carl?
I concur. I second that.
Really? It's that easy for you?
Cut and dry, yeah.
Even with the Tyree
Not
play
even
and
Not
all
debatable.
That other stuff?
Yeah. No. I mean, every week Odell Beckham does something to make us appreciate how much he was missed when he was gone and to show how much he's made up for the fact that he was gone for that long. But his focus and concentration, I mean, anything good that's been said about that catch is tremendous.
All right, all of you guys played in the NFL for a long time, and you had a Hall of Fame career and Pro Bowls and everything else for you guys. The counter move now, you know, he's going to see double teams. He's going to see safety help over the top. What are some of the things he's going to have to do to offset him being now a guy that teams are going to game plan to try to stop?
Well, I think it's incumbent upon his supporting cast to pick up and get to the next level. Just play well, because if he's going to be double-teamed, somebody's going to be open
a couple of people,
someplace
yeah.
else, you know, whether it's tight ends or whatever. To me, this guy's sort of like the Lawrence Taylor of wide receivers. He has that much of an impact on this team. He's brought such an excitement to this team that it should elevate the play right across the board.
And to Harry's point, they can offset that easily. You put him on the side of a tight end and watch the safety panic. Because if you've got a tight end who can play the game, which the Giants do, he can get down on the safety pretty quick, and it just allows you to do so many different things. And then there's an opportunity for a guy like Reuben Randall and Preston Parker, both guys who seem willing to take that opportunity to the next level.
Yeah, bottom line for me is, you know, with great players, the guy that you know he's going to get targeted, and he still finds a way to make the plays that he's not supposed to make now. So this is the Odell Beckham you have to see down the stretch.
He is the one player that everybody's going to fear now, because the Giants have not had a player that people fear.
Sure.
But he is that one guy now.
Well, that's good news for Giants fans. Let's take a look at Giants programming that comes your way each and every week, not only here on the MSG networks, but on My9. Things get started on Friday nights with Giants First and 10. It debuts every Friday night at 5 p.m. on MSG+. Saturday night, Giants Access Blue at 11 p.m. on My9. Sunday morning, Giants Chronicles at 10 a.m. on MSG. Jason Sehorn featured this week. Giants postgame live immediately following the Giants and Jaguars on My9. Tuesday night, December the 2nd, make sure you check out Giants Rewind. And then on Wednesday, it's Giants Press Conference live at 11 a.m. on MSG. We're going to take a timeout here on the program. When we come back, the head coach of the Giants, Tom Coughlin, joins us here on Giants First and 10. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 as we get you set for the Giants and Jaguars on Sunday in Jacksonville. Item number two on the board, as always, the head coach of the New York Giants, Tom Coughlin. And coach, obviously, after last week's game, right down the wire against the Dallas Cowboys, picking your team's spirit up. How hard is that as a head coach to try to get them back?
Unfortunately, we've talked about that a lot of times this year. To be honest, you know, getting them back up is difficult. But what this group has been able to do is stay together. And then Wednesday, it kind of grows. And then Thursday, we come back and we're a little bit better. So I'm expecting that we will bounce back. And the game is staring us right in the face. We got to get ready to play. We got to get ready to go to Jacksonville and play.
Coach, as the offensive line continues to try to improve, you know, the running game, pass protection, the line has been reshuffled. Schwartz is back. Pugh potentially could come back this week. But you have a rookie that had to sit. How do you communicate that with all parties, knowing typically like what's best for the team?
Anything that we do here is always in the best interest of our football team. For us to sit and allow the things that have happened, I can't do that. So,
right. Man,
if we find a group of seven that can play and contribute, then they have opportunities. We've got to continue to evolve as an offensive team. And I've always believed in putting those five guys together, and then, when we go through the process of having games where we don't do the things that we should do in terms of just technically doing things the right way or being able to rush the football, period, then you'll go just so far with that, and then some things have to change.
On the other side of the ball, in terms of creating pressure on the quarterback with four, maybe a fifth blitzer, without compromising things in the secondary. In a secondary that's already a little banged up, how do you communicate that to the players, and how do you continue to try to be effective in that regard on Sunday?
The whole thing is, the truth of the matter is, when you're sitting there in a two-minute drive at the end of the game, having to make decisions on, you know, do we roll the dice and see what we saw earlier in the game? Everyone has spoken about not having any pressure on the quarterback at the end of the game. I agree with that completely. We didn't have any pressure on the quarterback at the end of the game. But if we're going to look at just the end of the game, how about looking at the other parts of the game? It wasn't a whole lot, heck of a lot of pressure on the quarterback even then.
Coach, when you look at this game on Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars, they get after the quarterback.
Do a heck of a job.
Priority number one for you, right, to protect Eli and get that running game going so they don't get in down and distance where they can pin their ears back.
Well, they've done a real good job. It didn't matter against Indianapolis what down it was. You know, Clemens had three sacks in the first quarter, for crying out loud. Their linebackers all run very, very well. Their front is a mature front that can be rotated through, and there's not a lot that you see that's different from one group to the next. Their secondary, you know, right now has been stabilized. They've played a lot of games together back there. So their defensive team, quite frankly, I was surprised to see where they were ranked.
Coach, we're going to have a piece later on in the show that looks back at your time in Jacksonville, but more importantly, what you've done with the J Fund. And we're going to delve into that later on in the program. But how do you feel when you know that you're going back there with all the things that you accomplished on and off the field?
Well, the one great thing, Bob, that we just experienced, we have started a radiothon there. 1010XL carries a radiothon for the J Fund for an entire day. Their celebrities operate under that guise as well. Yesterday, we raised, I believe, $73,000 in a radiothon to benefit the J Fund and the families who have children with cancer in the greater Jacksonville area. So going back and understanding the way in which the people of Jacksonville very generously have supported the J Fund is a great feeling for all of us.
Coach, best of luck on Sunday. That's New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. All right, let's get into the X's and O's a little bit more, things that the coach alluded to. Time for strategy with Carl Banks.
Let's take a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars offense. They have a young quarterback, and their objective is to stay in manageable down and distance. The key players to watch in executing that will be the tight end and the running back. Those two are a young quarterback's best friend. So, Giants linebackers are going to have to keep an eye on both the tight end and the running back. And I'll play this, and as I play this, you'll see Denard Robinson take off on snap to get in space. Linebacker, I'll freeze it here. Linebacker has to keep eyes in the flat. Quarterback has already decided where he's going to throw the ball. So now your linebackers, one, two, linemen have to peel out and go. Defensive backs all have to have eyes on the short pass because once he's in the open field, you'll see he has the ability to make people miss. He's a young, active weapon on offense. You see, he makes a guy miss there, he gets the first down. Now on defense, the Jaguars have a top five defense in sacks. They are very active with their linemen and linebackers. It's very important, number one, to stay in manageable down and distance, but if you get in third and longs, the offensive line will have to be aware of all the twists that take place. Now, let's take a look at two guys. They have enough guys to block them, but you'll see what happens when you don't pass off. I'll freeze it. Linebacker occupies two guys. They got a clear rusher to the passer. So it's important that communication along the offensive line is important, but guys being able to pass one blocker off to the next rusher.
That strategy with Carl Banks brought to you by PSEG. PSEG, we make things work for you. We're going to take a timeout here on the program. When we come back, we send Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room to focus in on the Giants and Jaguars. All that and much, much more here on Giants First and 10. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. We're getting you set for the Giants and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We like to take you inside the Giants locker room every week. Paul Dottino handles that duty. Item number four goes up on the board. And, Paul, the Giants have to deal with some weapons on offense that the Jaguars do have.
Yeah, you know, rookie quarterback Blake Bortles has completed 63% of his passes, 8 touchdowns, 15 picks, NFL high, but Denard Robinson, the former quarterback at Michigan, has become a very important part of this offense, kind of as a wild card. The Giants are very much aware of him.
Well, we know that he's playing running back now, and he's one of those guys you always got to keep an eye on. He's fast as I don't know what, you know, from playing him in college, but he's doing good since he's been playing running back, and they've been using a good scheme, and he's been making plays.
How surprised are you that after being a quarterback in Michigan that he is succeeding at the NFL level as a running back?
I won't say I'm surprised because when we played on 1 year, he was playing running back because he hurt his throwing arm. And just to see him out there playing running back now and, you know, getting some good production at it and playing good, you know, it's good to see. But we definitely have to keep him contained because once you open up a gap or a hole, he's going to go.
So now Robinson has been a primary back for them for the last 5 games. He's got 2 100-yard games. He's averaging about 4.5 yards a carry, 83 yards rushing a game. And Mr. Banks, I got to tell you something. He's a versatile and dangerous weapon.
Well, I'd say he's interesting, to say the least, because he has a multiple skill set. But when you look at how he's used within the offense, it's to keep the ball out and get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. So he's used on a lot of short routes, swing routes, things like that. And if you prepare for that, I'm not sure how well the pass rush will be, but they'll be able to tackle and limit his impact.
Yeah, I mean, Gus Bradley is really helped add this new model of what's considered an athlete, one of the first guys to be considered just an athlete. So he gives them a dimension offensively where I think defensively you've always got to wonder where number 16 is at all times. So it will be a challenge at certain parts of the field for defense.
You got to know one thing, though. His rushing numbers per game after back-to-back 100-yard rushing games has dropped each and every week over the last 6 weeks, and last week, 25 yards. All right, item number 5 goes up on the board. We flip it around, Paul, and look at the Jaguars defensively.
Yeah, can you believe it? A team that only has one win this season is actually the best in the NFL in the red zone, only allowing 39% of a possible amount of points. Giants quarterback Eli Manning says that is a tough defense to crack.
Not many teams run the ball very well against them down there, so... teams are throwing in a bunch, and they get a good rush, and they have some good coverages, and change it up. They mix it up week to week, and it's hard to, they're not real dependable in what they're going to do, but they play fast, and not many teams are getting easy scores down there.
So on 41 trips inside the Jags red zone, teams have 16 touchdowns and 18 field goals. Roman, the Giants are going to have to get some points, and they better get them down there when they have a chance.
Yeah, they're the youngest team in the league, and they're the least penalized team in the league, as you know. And so you can't get in a position where it's 3rd and 8 on the 30 on the 25-yard line because they can get to the quarterback. They're tops in the league in sacks, too. So you've got to score from the field almost. You don't want to get into that dogfight mode where you're kicking field goals constantly against a team that you should be scoring against.
Execution. You know, when you have a defensive line and linebacking crew that's as active as they are in terms of blitzing and coming up with different stunts to get to the passer on passing situations, they've really got to be able to execute up front, make sure they can switch off a lot of the twists that are going to happen.
Now, let's just add one more thing. Although the Jaguars are good in the red zone, they're tied with the Giants for giving up the most plays this year of 20 or more yards. So they are susceptible to the big play. Paul, good stuff as always.
Good to see you guys.
That's Paul Dottino inside the Giants locker room. Let's take a look at the scheduling for Giants First and 10 each and every week here on the MSG Networks. It all debuts on Friday night on MSG Plus at 5, a second airing on Friday, 2 airings on Saturday in the morning, and then on Sunday at 6 a.m. on MSG Plus and at 10:30 a.m. on MSG right after Giants Chronicles' Jason Sehorn. We're going to take a timeout on the program. When we come back, we'll be joined by Anita Marks for the Blitz as we continue with Giants First and 10 after this.
McNabb again over center. Drop straight back. Giants on a blitz. McNabb hit as he throws. Swings it right. And the pass nearly. It is intercepted by Sehorn. He's got it on the run. Down the left sideline. Cuts it at the 10. 5. Touchdown.
I don't know how else to explain it. I saw the ball and win. It was an out route to the flat. He was trying to throw that thing low and away. And I just drove on it so well that I felt like I could get to it. And so I went for it. I got my hands on it. But when I hit the ground, it kind of popped up a little bit. And everything just kind of happened. I react, instinct, stand up, go the other way.
One of the great plays in Giants postseason history. Make sure you check out Giants Chronicles, Jason Sehorn, this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10. Still to come here on the program, we're going to be joined in studio by Giants offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz. Our online segment with Pat Hanlon, Art Stapleton, and Paul Schwartz. We'll look back at Tom Coughlin's time in Jacksonville and all the good work he's done there. And Carl Banks and the rest of the crew will rejoin me for the Big Blue Challenge. But it is time to put item number 6 up on the board. We call this the Blitz as we welcome in Anita Marks. Anita?
All right, gentlemen, here we go. Last week, Snowmageddon, of course, hit the Northeast, caused Buffalo to move their home game to Detroit. As we know, they went up against the Jets. Here's your question. Most memorable weather game in Giants history. 60 seconds on the clock and
discuss. Well, there are a couple for me because they're weather, memorable weather games. I would say 85 in Chicago, 07 in Green Bay were probably the most memorable because they were so cold.
Right.
What about you, Harry? How about 81 Atlanta?
You know, I'm not even going to go there with Atlanta, but I was at the Green Bay game, and I think that was the coldest I've ever been in, period. And to see Amani Toomer and Plaxico with no sleeves go down and catch those passes from Eli, outstanding.
You guys didn't even put the 86 NFC Championship game, the wind. That's part of weather.
Well, yeah. It was windy, but, you know, we were accustomed to playing in windy conditions.
Ah, but you know what? That game, the Redskins, remember the shoe change that we made? And they didn't make their shoe change, so that was a bit of strategy. Get some shoes that work. That was Belichick.
I have to throw one more in here. Uh-oh. I know we're over time. 2007, second and last game of the regular season. In Buffalo, Ahmad Bradshaw with the 80-yard touchdown run. That got the Giants in the postseason, that first Super Bowl run. It was sunny, windy, snow, and rain all in the same game.
All in one game. Here you go. Number 2, hottest topic really this week in the NFL, Odell Beckham Jr.'s circus catch. That catch has not been named yet. I want you to put on your thinking caps, and I want you to name Odell Beckham's catch for me. 60 seconds on the clock. Who's going to be the winner? You kick us off, Harry.
OMG reception. The OMG reception. I mean, that's
the, that's the best you got.
That's the best I've got. I don't want to get into the immaculate reception.
Well, no, we've had major moments in world history, you know, D-Day, all kinds of stuff. It's the catch that broke the internet.
How about this one that you came up with?
Who are you, Kim Kardashian?
How about the one you came
up with? No, he broke the internet.
How about the one you came up with, though? It's kind of like a Flonsberry flop, you know,
yeah,
the high jump.
Fosbury flop. Yeah.
The Fosbury. The Fosbury catch.
That's just the greatest.
How about he bent
greatest
it like
2K.
How
just
about he bent it like Beckham?
There you go.
The bent it like Beckham catch.
I like it. How about this? I'm going to throw one out. How about the claw?
As good as any other one.
Yeah, I guess.
No, I don't think any of them are really any good. We stink at naming
catches. The catch. It's just the catch.
Well, that already exists. Here
no,
we go.
The question, catch 2K.
Question number 3. Before the Giants, Tom Coughlin, as we know, was the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Built them from the ground up and took them to 2 AFC championship games in his tenure. Here's your question. Which is the toughest sport for a new team to have success? Another 60 seconds on the clock. Who wants to start us off?
Wow, if we had another 30 seconds, we could get Don Sperling in here to really debate it. But he says baseball, according to Don,
baseball is
the easiest.
Right. Yeah.
Basketball's not hard because you can get talent. I think football or hockey because of the inventory of players that's not readily available.
I have to go with football as well because you just have so many different pieces that you have to be in sync to win and be successful. And until you get all of those pieces sort of working in tandem, you're not going to win.
And they've had different sets of rules in the NFL. In other words, when Jacksonville and Carolina came in, they had certain expansion rules, different than when Tampa first came in.
Yeah.
Cleveland's an expansion team for the most part, and they still can't find a winning formula. I'm going to say football is the hardest. They can't even find 32 starting quarterbacks right now in the league. You want to expand it?
Pretty sad. Yeah.
All right, Anita, good stuff.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, we're going to take a timeout here on the program. When we come back, we'll be joined by Giants offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 as we get you set for the Giants and Jaguars on Sunday in Jacksonville. Item number 7 goes up on the board as we welcome in studio one of the new Giants, offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz. And, Jeff, I know you waited so long to finally get a chance to play with the Giants. How frustrating was it to not be able to be on the field and help your teammates?
It's very frustrating. It was only the second time in my career I've never been able to play. And, you know, I wanted to come in here and I got that contract. I wanted to be part of the team and prove that I'm kind of worth it and kind of band us all together and play well. And it was disappointing to not be out there.
As you were looking at all the struggles of the offensive line, was there anything that you could give some of the younger players to try to get them stabilized?
Well, I think confidence. I mean, you know, when you play offensive line, you need a high amount of confidence because it's a tough position. You're going to get beat, and you have to be able to overcome that. And when you play with confidence, you know, you typically will play better. And that's what I tried to help with Weston and some of the younger guys is that just be yourself. Go have fun. Play with confidence. You know they're going to make mistakes. But if you play fast and you play with a lot of energy, you'll be able to overcome those.
You've been at different teams now and you, as a veteran. What do you like the most about this particular organization and Coach Coughlin and his leadership style?
This organization kind of does everything the right way from top to bottom. I really appreciate that, even just little things as far as the stuff they do with the families. A lot of teams don't have, you know, daycare for the kids. They don't have wives clubs, stuff like that. Just little stuff off the field that makes everything on the field go a lot smoother.
So as you look at this Jacksonville team, obviously they've don't have a great record, but they got a pretty good pass rush.
Yes.
What are some of the things that you guys have to be on alert for as you get into this?
Well, I think they're second or third in the league in sacks. So for us up front, we're going to have to protect well, protect those stunts, those twists. They bring guys in like Seattle does. They try to maul their defense after. So they bring in some guys that just rush the passer. That's all they do. We have to be ready for those guys. Those are the guys that have a lot of their sacks and cause a lot of disruption.
And you've been productive from one O-line to another. I mean, you've been productive at multiple positions on the offensive line. Do you have a particular position that you're more comfortable at, or do you say whatever it takes to win kind of approach?
I mean, really anything on the right side I'm most comfortable with because I've played there my whole career. I've played 10 years, I mean, if you can college, all on the right side. So definitely on the right side. You know, I've done some left guard in the preseason, and it went okay, but, you know, I need kind of more work at that. That's why I was able to come back, you know, I was thankfully really able to come back on the right side and just kind of do what I've done my whole career and kind of get away with a little more things I can do on that side to help myself with, you know, with my injury.
How do you compensate for the verbal communication or the nonverbal communication you need when you haven't been in? I mean, you've been injured.
Yeah.
How do you make up for stuff like that?
Well, I think we're a really close group in the offensive line room, and that really helps. So when I was kind of walked in there, I knew the calls, I knew the language. It's nice playing next to JJ, who's a veteran, so we don't have to really talk very much. I mean, you know, we have a call, we might just kind of say, we got this guy, we know what it's going to be, so I don't have to really say the call. And they did a great job kind of helping me out with some of the nuances of our offense that I haven't experienced yet. And I thought it went really smoothly on Sunday. We didn't have, you know, any mental breakdowns up front, at least on my side, so I was pleased with our communication.
So tell everyone, will this run game get on track? How close are you guys?
I think we're pretty close. You know, last game we had 5 negative runs. If you take even 1, 2, or 3 of those away, and you take away one of the goal line ones, you know, we got kind of 0 yards, you know, then we have 100 yards. I mean, it's really that simple. So we're getting there. We're getting close. You know, we sprung some big runs, you know, on Sunday, and we're getting there. I mean, it's a work in progress.
All right, Jeff, we appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
All right, that's Jeff Schwartz joining us here on the program. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Pat Hanlon joins us, along with another Schwartz, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, Art Stapleton of The Record, for our online segment as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG after this. Welcome back to Giants First and 10. We get you set for the Giants and Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm joined by Senior VP of Communications, Pat Hanlon. We've got Art Stapleton of The Record, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. Item number 8 goes up on the board. This is our online segment and a little homecoming for the head coach.
How come we're always item number 8?
Well, it's because we have to work around your schedule. You've got a lot of things to do.
A little homecoming for the head coach, but as Paul Schwartz found out this this week when he asked him about it, that's the last thing on his mind.
Yeah, you had a chance to ask him about going back to Jacksonville. Maybe if the Giants were 8-3, you might have a different feeling about it.
Well, you know, Tom's not one to bring it about himself, and I'm sure if they were 8-3, he wouldn't have waxed poetic about going back. But right now, I think there's a lot on his mind, like get a win, figure out a way to win a game. But it is emotional for him going back. This is where he started. It's his 300th regular season game, which is a milestone.
Which he brought to his attention.
Well, right, and he said, you know, he's so young, he must have started when he was 15. you know, and look, Tom is a guy, he started later in life as a head coach, and so he's an older head coach. He's been around a while. You know, he'd like to go back and get a win back in his old stomping grounds.
Yeah, and when Gus Bradley talked to us on a conference call this week, he said, you know, I haven't met anyone with a bad word about Tom Coughlin in that area. And I think that speaks volumes, the idea that Tom Coughlin was a part of the hiring of some of the people that are still in the building for the Jaguars says a lot for his impact there.
Yeah, and coming up later in the show, we're going to take a look at Coach Coughlin's impact in Jacksonville and what he's done, not only as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, but more importantly, off the field. All right, obviously the football world still abuzz by what Odell Beckham Jr. did last week. As you've had a chance to digest it a little bit, does it seem even more impressive now when you've heard people talk about it from outside of the Giants family?
Yeah, I think the most impressive thing about it was the fact that he had the body control to be able to make that catch. I mean, his left arm was hooked as he was going up into the air. And the idea that, you know, think back to Philly when Victor Cruz got injured on that play in the end zone. You know, his entire body was going up in the air, but then he couldn't get up because he didn't have that kind, you know, that boost because of his leg injury. Now you look at Beckham, consider the force that it had to take, the physics to be able to get up and get that ball when he was being basically spun around by a defender that was penalized.
I mean, I'm fascinated by what happens next because this is a guy, he's a young guy, and all of a sudden he is thrust into the national spotlight. Look, his father was a player, his mother was a great track star, he went to LSU. This is not some kid who nobody knows about. But now he's in a different stratosphere when LeBron James is tweeting about him, when the whole world is noticing a million mentions of Odell Beckham on Twitter. I know you got to do this, but you know what? So far, and I've seen a ton of these young guys come and go, he's very level-headed. He seems smart. He seems humble. And it was so sad to hear him say, I feel sick after this game because we lost.
To quote the great Dwayne Charles Parcells, let's not put him in Canton just yet, okay? But that was an incredible play. The way he handled the aftermath. And listen, on Monday, he could have done every TV show from east to west, starting with the Tonight Show on down. And that wasn't the point. We're 3-8. He made a great play in the middle of our sixth straight loss, okay? The focus is on team and winning.
Talk to Cruz. I know Cruz and Beckham are constantly in contact. And I know that's the first thing that Cruz talked to him about is the idea of, all right, now here's what, like Paul said, here's what happens next. Right. Here's how you handle what's to come over the next couple weeks.
All right, sacks are going to have a big part in this game. The Giants aren't getting any. Jacksonville leads the NFL in sacks yielded. So what gives this week?
Well, the Giants' offensive line is going to be under the microscope again. Jacksonville put a lot of money and has a lot of veteran skill at defensive line. So that is where they're strong. They have a ton of sacks, as you mentioned. And, you know, quite frankly, I mean, the Giants' offensive line has been so poor at times. I mean, when is the last time you saw a team get the ball with a minute to go with their timeouts left and not get a first down? Get 9 yards on four plays because they could not control the line of scrimmage. So that's what I'm looking at as far as can they get it together against this 1-10 team with a good pass rush.
Sunday will be very interesting to see where does Schwartz go? Does Pugh come back at right tackle? Is Snyder healthy enough to play? Does Richburg go back to left guard? Do you move Schwartz to left guard? There are a lot of still moving pieces for this team. And the one aspect of the Jaguars' defense, as we've spoken about it, is the one that could actually give the Giants the biggest problem.
I'm looking at the others. You guys are focusing on their pass rush. I want to see a pass rush.
We haven't seen it. We haven't seen it much, and that's the problem.
The Jaguars have given up 43 sacks, which is the most in the NFL. Your predictions for this week?
It's funny because you got a 3-win team and a 1-win team, but it's a no-win situation for the Giants. They win big, and everyone says, well, so what? And if they lose, I don't know how Tom Coughlin's going to react to that.
I'll take so what at this point. Okay?
I think they win the game. I think Beckham makes another big play. Watch out for Rashad Jennings. His a little homecoming to Jacksonville as well.
I think after 6 weeks, the Giants will win a game. I think all that frustration that is building for 6 weeks is going to come out on that field in Jacksonville. I think you're going to see a very good performance.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for your time. Patty, we'll see you in Jacksonville.
Yes, sir.
Still to come on the program, we're going to take a look back at Coach Coughlin and what he's done in the community in Jacksonville as we continue with Giants First and 10 after this.
The game is staring us right in the face. We got to get ready to play.
To quote the great Dwayne Charles Parcells, let's not put him in Canton just yet.
The OMG reception. I mean, that's in the...
That's the best you got.
That's the Geico Show recap. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com. today, as we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG, time to put item number 9 up on the board. Giants head coach Tom Coughlin is in his 11th year as head coach of the Big Blue, a two-time Super Bowl champion. He got his start in Jacksonville with the Jaguars, where he's left his mark not only on the field, but off it as well. Tom Coughlin's career with the New York Giants first began in 1988, when head coach Bill Parcells hired him as the wide receivers coach.
What I really saw was the way that the organization was run, the continuity, George Young, Bill Parcells, Wellington Mara, and then to see this team get back on its feet in its winning ways. And, of course, in 90, we were able to win Super Bowl 25. But it was a wonderful experience for me and one I'll never forget.
Following the 1990 season, Coughlin took the job as head coach of the Boston College football program. After 3 successful years at BC, the NFL would once again come calling.
Who's this? The Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay. Because they had just come into existence in October of that year, but it was a great responsibility. Start a franchise, you know, hire everybody that touches football in the whole organization. And there's a lot of work involved, very rewarding.
It's not tough enough for you, huh? We can do something about that. We can make it a little tougher for you.
Even the first year was rewarding because we didn't win many games. But they were a tough, tough, and that was the prelude to things to come.
With Coughlin at the helm, Jacksonville would grow into the most successful expansion team in league history. In their first 5 seasons of existence, they would make the playoffs 4 times, including 2 trips to the AFC Championship game. But Coughlin's biggest contribution in Florida may have come off the field. In 1992, one of his former Boston College players, safety Jay McGillis, died of leukemia. So moved was the coach by the young man's battle with the disease that upon arriving in Jacksonville, he started a program named after McGillis.
The J Fund Foundation was established to help families who had children with leukemia or other forms of cancer. It just happened to be that we were in the land of golf, Ponte Vedra Beach, the PGA Tour.
Good evening and thank you as we present the 17th annual J Fund Foundation Golf Classic. Gotta go, it's gotta go.
The J Fund is now in its 18th year of existence. Although its roots are in Jacksonville, Coach Coughlin has brought it with him to the New York metropolitan area, where he continues to help families affected by cancer.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan?
Ready?
Go.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what, we do care.
Well, you can talk about Tom Coughlin's accomplishments on the field, the 13th winningest coach in NFL history, 2-time Super Bowl champion, but he's a champion off the field with the J Fund. And, guys, he has given back to the community, and he's done something that you don't see happen too often. A guy who has a foundation set up in one city, he goes to another city, and he's now made it a 2-pronged attack.
Yeah, Tom has really made a difference in different locations. And he has tapped in on players and also former players from the Giants and the Jaguars participating in his golf tournaments. He has a dinner every year in October where, you know, many of the Giants are in attendance, including Eli, but also his golf tournament is well attended by many of the former players from the Jaguars and also the Giants.
The other thing he's got is he's got a lot of other head coaches that have respect for him that actually show up.
Yeah, and it just it speaks volumes to the character of Coach Coughlin. Once he gets involved, he's a committed individual and committed to the success of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're ultimately measured by wins and losses, but for Tom Coughlin, it's also impact. And what Coach Coughlin's done in terms of impact is astounding.
Came to the Giants in 1988. Obviously, you guys are on the other side of the ball. But he's from outside the family. Mm-hmm. You know, he really didn't have a relationship with Parcells. What were your first impressions of him, if you had to deal with him at all?
Well, the first impression was he was just so strict. But eventually, I think they sort of got in tune with the way that he wanted things done. And then he moved on to BC. Boston College, and then Jacksonville.
Yeah, he was quite the taskmaster. And the receivers, they would all, and some would intentionally be 4 minutes early for a meeting just to see him come out and wrangle everybody back into a meeting room.
Well, and you know what? His guys produced in Super Bowl 25, mm-hmm. Stephen Baker, the big touchdown catch at the end of the first half, and, of course, Mark Ingram's catch and run on a third down conversion against the Bills, two key plays in the Giants' win in Super Bowl 25. All right, time to put item number 10 up on the board. We call this our Big Blue Challenge. Each and every week, I pose a question to my expert group, and then we hand out some grades on a point total of 1 to 5. So, here's what we got this week, fellas. Last week, I asked you, in order for the Giants to win, who did they have to shut down from the Dallas Cowboys? Was it the quarterback, the running back, Dez Bryant, or maybe even throw in the tight end? So let's go to the results right now. Banks, you got the lead. Carl and Harry and Roman all had the same thing. You all had DeMarco Murray. Now, I want to say this. DeMarco Murray had over 100 yards rushing, but the Giants kept him in check. It's not as if he ripped off 20-yarders and back-breaking plays. He got his run in volume, but at the end of the game, when the Cowboys were trying to run out the game, he wasn't able to run out the game. So I'm going to say that you guys all get 3 points for that.
Wow, three.
Yeah.
You guys all get 3 points. I'm feeling very giving.
Oh, baby.
In the Thanksgiving mode.
Yeah.
So, Harry, you're at 23. Banksy, you're at 25. And Roman, you've at least joined the party. All right, here we go. Here's the question for this week, okay? Giants are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. My question is, outside of Odell Beckham Jr., who had a huge game last week, which other player on offense needs to have a big game in order for the Giants to win this week? Which other player outside of Odell Beckham Jr. needs to have a big game for the Giants to win this week? So we're going to... Now, hold on to your cards, because here's what I'm going to do. We're in the stretch run now.
Oh, boy.
Bonus questions coming in. We've got 3 bonus points for you as well to add to your point total. How many points are the Giants going to score this week? Write it down. How many points are the Giants going to score this week? Write it down. Roman, put it down.
Do we have to be exact or within
the margin? No, this is not like the Price is Right. If you go over, it's still whoever's closest, we're going to hand out some bonus points for you. So, boom, boom, and boom. Boom. So, man, I got to try to find a way to get these guys back up to speed because it's not looking good. Thanks, you still have the lead for all of them. That wraps it up for this week's show. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. For Carl, Harry, Roman, Anita, Paul, Pat Hanlon, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. We'll see you again next week here on MSG for another edition of Giants First and 10.